community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Katie Basil. This morning, we are playing an interview with Michael Robbins, the principal of the Nelson Island School in Tuksuk Bay. The community is running a low-powered radio station out of the school, and in this interview, Robbins talks about how radio is helping to keep the community connected during the pandemic. This interview was recorded on September 29. Can you describe your radio station just briefly? So, like, you know, what type of signal it is, and maybe just touch on how you use it.
We have a 10-watt radio station. 91.9 is our FM signal. And it was installed about a year and a half ago. For us as a community, it is a way to get information out to our students and our staff and the people who live in Tuksuk Bay. And we kind of came up with the idea that once we found that we could switch it back and forth between the feed that we get from Bethel and Chivek to our own local broadcasting, we thought that this would have many different opportunities for us as a school and as a community to communicate with our people who live in Tuksuk Bay. And it kind of went into hyperdrive a little when we were out of school and we needed to communicate, because VHF is good, but it's not good in a long form. And so by able to switch over to 91.9, we can have longer announcements, we can have student stories and so forth on the radio network that we could not be able to use on VHF.
And how has the school and community used the radio station to stay connected during the pandemic specifically?
Well, really three things. One, I think just local news. Coming from Bethel and news from Alaska, that's a constant theme that I hear back from our community members. You know, Channel 2 does a great job of covering Alaska, but it doesn't necessarily cover the Delta. And KYUK does a great job of that. And our families feel more connected to people who live out here. And so that's number one. Two, it's a great school tool. When you can have a free opportunity to communicate with your students and your families, I think that that's great. I mean, the relationships that you have right now as a school is that you may contact them by phone, you may post something on Facebook, and really the work that you're giving out to the students through, you know, packets or whatever, some things on the computer. But this is much more interactive. When we went on for our Title I meeting, for example, and our back-to-school meeting, we had questions being asked on Facebook that I could answer in live, real-time on the radio, kind of like a call-in radio show. And so we had parents who were concerned about something. They put the question in the chat on Facebook, and I could answer it right away. You know, they don't have to pick up their phone. They don't have to call. All they have to do is turn on their radio. We, as a school, as part of a grant that we had the ability to buy a radio for every household in the village, and that instantly connected us to people in the community, and I think it's been great for us so far.
How many radios did you have to buy, and how much did it cost?
What we did was, this was actually a suggestion of one of the students at the end of last year, and he said, I really need an alarm clock. If I could just get an alarm clock, I would be on school on time. And I thought, okay. So we got him an alarm clock, and it was one of those alarm clock radios. And I was like, well, wait a minute. This was $9. We had to buy 120 of them for the village. So for $1,000, the price of one computer, we can be connected with everybody in the village. We can put ASB meetings on it. We can put tribal government meetings on it. We can have announcements. We can have student work and student stories. So I thought that was a pretty small price to pay to have instant connection, a free instant connection for the community and for us And then there's so much more. You know, you can do volleyball games and basketball games, and, you know, the weather's sometimes not great, and elders don't want to come up to watch a basketball game, but they're still interested. They're still interested in the school, and they're still interested in what their grandkids are doing, and so they can listen to a basketball game on Friday night. We thought about all those different things and, you know, some of the radio equipment. So I would say about $1,500. And that included the equipment that we needed to run the radio station and a radio for every household in the village.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, this thing was like, when we got the radio station up and running, the guy who's like the consultant that helps us with it said, you got to buy one of these Rodecasters. It was like $400. And we bought some good microphones to go with it. It's made all the difference in the world because it's so flexible. Like, you can plug it into a computer. So, like, when we have a radio broadcast, we just make an MP3 file and play it off of iTunes, and it goes right into the Rodecaster. And then that way you can control the levels of it and that kind of thing. So, and then it's got room for four microphones. So, like, when we do our TV show, we'll have two microphones hooked up into it, and then we also have another microphone that, you know, we can listen to it with our headphones. You know, you can mute a microphone if you want to. So, like, when the kids would ask a question, you know, third graders, they're not real great at not breathing loud into a microphone. So they could ask the question, and we can mute them. The sound would be, you know, there's less ambient noise in the background. We're still trying to mess with the sound upstairs a little bit because it wasn't built to be a TV studio, Katie, surprisingly enough. It was built to be a classroom, which is very disappointing when we tried to move it over. But we're still trying to mess with the sound, but we found one thing to do is if we kind of mute the other microphone, the sound is much crisper. And so that's why it's been a little bit better, you know, in the stuff that we've turned in. So
right.
Anyway, I'm done boring you with that.
Cool. No, that's
But
awesome.
I'll send you a picture of it. It was a great investment. What's neat about it is in the back of it is how we hook into the radio station. It's just so simple because we can broadcast from anywhere in the school that has an Ethernet connection. So we can literally broadcast out of the principal's office or broadcast from the gymnasium. Like, we set up the wiring in the gym to set up the radio station in the gym, and we have like a whole studio built in the gym to do broadcasts of basketball and volleyball and that kind of thing. And that didn't take all that much. I mean, it was just, you know, Cat 5 line is all we needed to set it up. And once we did that, it was so simple to do. And then once we figured it out, it took us about a half a day to figure out the wiring. But me and my tech guy did it last year during COVID because we knew when we came back that we were going to have to use the radio station. So we just kind of figured it out and played with it, and it's worked great so far.
How much work has it been producing programming? Because you guys are producing like multiple shows a week, it sounds like now.
KYUK has been tremendous in helping us. We have two interns. They do an interview with a community member every week. This kind of jumped off of last year on Facebook. We read to the students every day on Facebook, and we had a variety of different readers from throughout the Delta. And we kind of took that idea of our guest reader, and we have people who are doing amazing things in our community. And sometimes they're just not highlighted enough, or, you know, it's a 10, 12, 15-minute interview. We play it every week for our students. We call it Islander Weekly. And the third graders then wanted to jump on board and ask questions. And, you know, we created a cross-curriculum type thing where they're on the radio and they write their own questions and they research the people they're interviewing. And it's been a lot of fun for them, and they're excited, and you can see their confidence growing as they do it. That's been real good for us and for the school.
You just talked a little bit about how you've engaged youth. Is there like a class that you have, or how have you kind of organized or facilitated that?
There is a class that they're taking. There's an internship class. They're working with Patrick Williams, who works down at our district office, and they've had this program for a couple years from what I understand. And Patrick, when he found out that, you know, we have a live radio station and the ability to broadcast, he asked me if I had two kids that were willing to do it, and I did, and they are wonderful, Ethan and Peyton. The first time they did it, they were a little bit nervous, but now they just get in, they know how to adjust their levels, they know how to, the different questions that they ask, and We call it 10 Good Questions is our segment. And Ethan asked 5 and Peyton asked 5. And it's just great to see them build their confidence and how much they've embraced it. And I really think that, you know, really no matter what they do, they can kind of look back and feel a sense of pride about interviewing people in their community and trying to find out, you know, what we're doing well here in Tuxedo Bay.
That's fantastic. They've been so much fun to work with. We had Ethan on the phone yesterday, and he was playing a little slide guitar. It was great.
Well, we've been a little bit unsuccessful. We're hoping at some point in time to get, we have kids who play a lot of music up here. And we were all set to record our dance team music and then put that on. And then we had to stop school for a couple weeks. But when they come back, we're going to try to get people to play the guitar. And because we have so much talent here, I think it's a great way to showcase our kids in a way that they may not have thought of over the last couple years.
Do you have any advice for communities that are considering putting a low broadcast signal in their community?
I think it's really been a very good thing. Like our tribal administrator, Robert, says, now it's just part of our community. It wasn't part of our community for a long period of time, and now it's just part of what we do. People have it on in the offices. You know, if you go into the city office, you can hear the radio playing. If you go to homes, you can hear it playing. It's just a great way to kind of connect your community, and from a school principal perspective, it is a tremendous asset to have that at any time I want, if I need to make an announcement, I can just call over the VHF and say, okay, everybody turn over to 91.9. We're going to have a school announcement in 5 minutes. And everybody has the ability to do that, mm-hmm. right? So you instantaneously have instant communication about something that's going on in the school or in the community. Because you don't really want to use the VHF for a lot of those things, because that's really used for emergencies, or that's used for something that, you know, the community might need right away. The radio is a much longer form that you can go into, that you can really get into some depth to explain what's going on. And since you can't have in-face meetings at this particular time, it is a great way, and it's a free way for them to do it. They're not using data. They're not calling in on a cell phone, like on a conference call, and punching in 15 different numbers. What you're trying to do is create less barriers for access to information, and that's exactly what the radio does. That's why it's been so popular for the last 100 years. There's very little barriers other than turning on the power button and having a radio, which is, we took care of that this fall. So now everybody is kind of on an equal playing field as far as information is concerned. You know, you talk about access to internet, right? And that's always a problem, especially in Western Alaska. This eliminates that, right? Because now, like, if, for example, our Alaska Studies class has UPIC stories a part of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to record those stories, and we're going to put those on the radio. So not only does the Alaska Studies kids can listen to them and do their work, because they have an assignment based on that, but everybody in the community benefits from that. Little kids can listen to it. Elders can listen to it. And so it creates kind of a community-type atmosphere, and all you have to do is hit the power button. So I think that makes a much better situation for our kids, because it creates access to equity, and that's what we're trying to do a little bit in education.
I know that you are blending radio with Facebook Live. Can you just briefly talk about that?
Yes. So Facebook is very popular here in my village, and future in Western Alaska. So there's really two forms that we have. When we do have a radio broadcast, we also use it as a Facebook Live post or a post on Facebook, so that there's a visual there, but it also archives it. You know, Facebook does a really good job of having kind of an archive of the material that we produce. And for example, we have stories in Yukon on the Nelson Island Facebook page that we did last year during the pandemic. And we had 6,000-7,000 views of our stories that were done in Yukon. And people listen to them. We'll still get hits on our Facebook page from people watching our Yukon stories. And so our thought was that we can take those Yukon stories and put those on the radio also as part of a story time for kids, and they can listen, which, you know, helps preserve our culture, and it helps preserve those stories. We'll always have those stories digitalized, both in a live form, but also in a verbal form that we put on the radio. You know what made my day the other day was on Facebook. I knew we were making kind of a dent in the community with it, because on Facebook they were playing YouPick music on the radio, and like they do that during the midday from TVAC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Somebody actually recorded them listening to the radio of the YouPick music and put it on Facebook. I was like, yes, we have arrived.
That's amazing. Oh,
right, like that.
It.
That I, at that point, I knew. And then I've had parents walk up to me and goes, "I just love the interviews with the kids. I think it's so great, and they are listening."
That was Nelson Island School Principal Michael Robbins talking about how Tuxuk Bay is using a low-power radio station to stay connected during the pandemic. I'm your host, Katie Basil. Thank you for joining us on Coffee at KYUK.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.